Praise the Lord, everybody. So thankful to be able to come to the house of the Lord, aren't you?
Yes, amen.
So, as usual, I'm going to read a little thing to you from our advisory board. So, good morning, UPC Church family. Thank you all for being here today. We're gathered as a community of faith and united in our desire to seek God's guidance as we move forward in the pastoral selection process. It has been a journey of prayer, dedication, and careful consideration. And we are grateful to your continued support and your prayers. The pastoral candidate selection process began in October. I try to be prepared, and then this happens. It's fabulous. So, as you all know, the pastoral selection process began in October 24. A dedicated transition team made up of our leaders from our congregation undertook this significant task. After reviewing our 50 candidates through diligent effort and discernment, we invited six candidates to visit and engage with our church family. While two candidates withdrew for personal reasons, the remaining four were prayerfully and thoughtfully evaluated by the transition team. With a majority vote, the team recommended these four candidates to the advisory board for further consideration. The advisory board has since had in-depth discussions with each candidate, addressing key topics including income, pastoral duties, church leadership, long-term visions such as five-year plans, and other pertinent matters related to the role and the upcoming election. Each candidate was given approximately a week to prayerfully respond to agree with terms of these discussions. Following their responses, the advisory board conducted a vote for each candidate with careful reflection and majority approval. We are presenting three candidates for upcoming pastoral vote. The three candidates listed in order of when their applications were received are Brother Chris Uridic, Brother Brad Davis, and Brother Andrew Lucas. This is the final day of announcements for the business meeting for Tuesday, April 1st, 2025, per our church bylaw requirements. This meeting will be led by our UPCI District Superintendent, Brother Flowers, who will be accompanied by Brother Hargrove, the Presbyter of North Texas Section of the North Texas District and Pastor of North City's UPC Garland. During this meeting, a congregational pastoral vote will take place again this Tuesday, April 1st, 2025 at 7 p.m. here in this church sanctuary. This will be an important moment for our congregation, and we ask for your continued prayers for wisdom and unity as seeks God's will together. We also want to take a moment to explain the voting process. We highly encourage all members to get there early to ensure a smooth process and timely start. As addressed in previous weeks, understanding your membership status is essential. Upon arrival, every qualified member will receive their number ballot for each potential vote. Their name will be marked off the list as ballot received, and all qualified voters will be directed to a designated qualified voters area. All attendees are welcome to observe, but those who are not qualified voters will be seated in a separate area to prevent any confusion. The first ballot will include all three candidates. After ballots are filled out and submitted, our congregation appointed trustees, Brother Scott Price, Brother James Martinez, and Brother Matt Wright, will oversee the tallying process. According to church bylaws, Article 3, Section 3.1, a majority vote with two-thirds vote of confidence of the qualified members present is required for selection of the pastor. If no candidate from the first ballot receives a two-third vote, the top two vote-getters will proceed to a second ballot. Should neither candidate receive a two-thirds vote on the second ballot, the candidate with the highest number of votes will be placed on the final ballot alone. The congregation will then vote as a yes or no basis. If the candidate does not receive a two-thirds vote of confidence, the pastoral transition team will be reactivated and the selection process will begin again. If you have any questions about this process or the candidates, please feel free to reach out to any of our five advisory board members. We're here to support and provide any information that you need. Thank you once again for your prayers, your faithfulness, and your commitment to our church. May God bless us as we move forward in this significant decision. Thank you. UPC Advisory Board members, Brother Garen Jackson, Jim Lester, Lynn English, Darren Hamner, and myself, Mike Morton. Let's praise the Lord this morning. Thank y'all.
Praise the Lord. Can we all stand across this building? Switching up a little bit, and we're going to take our prayer requests before the Lord first. Before we do anything, we are going to bring these prayer requests and believe that there's going to be an element of victory in this house before we move any further in this service that we have. Brother JT Bryant, Matt Thomas, Mike Stewart, David Young, Clay Gensel, Susan Price, Sister Dickie, Cindy Crawford, Dee Cheshire, Danny Bramlett, Brother Griffith, Don and Donna Howe, and Brother Jerry Newberry's aunt, Mary Newberry, who passed away this past week. And so we'll be having her services on Thursday, April the 3rd at 10 for visitation, 11 for the service at Bright Holland, then Evergreen afterward. She went to the UPC of Paris under Brother D. Hart, and she is a part of this church, a part of our church family, and so be in prayer for her family as well. And then we also have in the Newberry family, Cody Newberry is battling some kidney stones. We want to be praying for him. But I believe in any need that we have in this house. I've experienced in my life when I've tried things of this world to try to alleviate pain, when I've tried everything else that I could do to deal with my situations or deal with what I'm going through. But then I've experienced when I've let God take control of it. When I begin to realize what the power of prayer can do, when we can say, God, I know what I have going on. I know what I can do. But God, I need more to happen right now. So what I do right now is I go into prayer and I begin to bring everything I have going on to you right now. And I don't want to be somebody that holds on to my own problems. But God, let me be a house of prayer today. And what I encourage you is if you have a need in your body, to step forward in faith. The ministers will anoint you with oil and pray with you and for you. And there's going to be a deliverance in this house this morning. Amen. Can we give up a clap of praise? Maybe as our faith begins to rise, can we put our hands together in faith, signifying that God, I believe in your healing power. That God, I believe in your miracle working power. God, I believe that you can see me. And God, I pray that I don't hold on to anything, but I surrender it to you. In Jesus' name, hallelujah.
Fire of my altar never burn out. Make me a house. Testimony and a little bit of an encouragement of our kids rally on Saturday. we took 16 kids with us to this kids rally, and the whole stage was filled up with things that they were fixing to teach the kids on. And when we walked in the room, it was different, so different. And we started to do some kids songs, then we did some worship songs, and every time we did any worship songs, all of the kids from one side of the room to the other had their hands lifted, tears falling, everything. They were really searching for something and serving the Lord. There was so many kids that were filled with the Holy Ghost. There was 2 full hours of pray and praise. There was no teaching of the word because the Lord moved. This is at a kids' rally, y'all. These kids were really searching and really, really going and praying. And one of the things that they told us was, because, you know, it's a kids' rally, most of the people just let the kids go to the front. And the children's pastor got up and goes, "Where's our leaders at? Where are the parents at? Why are the kids leading? Why are the kids ushering in the spirit? Where are y'all at?" And I got convicted too, because sometimes in my life I don't. I let the kids do their own thing. I was up there with him. And as soon as the parents and the teachers came up to the front, you talk about a mighty rushing wind. When the old and the new all came together, there was this huge rushing of a wind. And that is when the children saw the adults praising, worshiping. People were jumping. People were laughing in the spirit, crying in the spirit. It was the best thing I have ever experienced, ever. And I've been in church since I've been little. That is the best thing. And if you've never heard a little kid speak in that heavenly language, whew, you talk about a shift in the spirit when their little tiny voices connect with heaven in such a sweet, sweet way. I'm just encouraging y'all to continue to worship. Continue to do what you're doing. Show your kids how to worship. Don't be scared to get out of your seat and come to the front and jump and cry and snot and fall and whatever you have to do, because they're watching. And they were able to interact with other kids doing the same thing because y'all get out of your seat and you let them do it. So keep going. Keep going. Don't stop worshiping and don't stop praying.
Jesus. You're worthy of it all. church body. Oh, I need thee, oh, I need thee. Let his fresh presence just sweep into this place. Every heavy weight you might have carried all week, give it to the Savior. Some praise to the only Savior, the only one worthy of opening any scrolls, the only one who is worthy. Hallelujah.
How good is it to be home? I say that from my perspective, to be back home in Paris, but also my home church. How good is it for all of us to be home? Our home church today. First, I'm going to go over the rest of our events and upcoming announcements, and then offering. So for our rest of our March events, which today is the 30th, there is a mission pledge due today, and then tomorrow, the Ladies United Fellowship, you can sign up in the foyer for that. And the coffee room still has t-shirts for sale, and all proceeds go back to the church. For April, if you want to get your calendars out to put this in there, our first church business meeting for voting on the new pastor will be the first, so another announcement for that. Also on the first, men's retreat registration starts. The third and fourth will be Ladies Joy Conference in Mesquite. The sixth, the watch info booth will be set up in the foyer. Also on the 6th is a VBS bake sale, so please let Sister Christy know by Wednesday if you want something special. The 12th is our men's breakfast, and the 13th is fresh fire service.
And then, as you know, we've been announcing that there's going to be a drawing in the coffee shop, and so why don't you give it up for Sister Cynthia, one, and then for her helpers, Sister Lisa and Sister Nicole. We appreciate the coffee shop. That is so cool that we have that. I'm going to get you guys to come on over here. Sister Cynthia acted like she needed help with this, so that's why I'm here. She doesn't need help. But this is the men. So if you purchase a coffee or anything in the coffee shop, your name got put in this. Little drum roll. Here we go. Brother Lynn English. That's sad when that happens. Somebody bring him in and we'll do it again. No, okay, so Brother Lynn English. And now, a little drum roll action here. Jeannie Webb. Woo! You go, girl. That's awesome.
All right. Before we take up the offering, I did just want to share a little bit. I've not been able to come home in about 3 months just because I've been in Tyler. If you don't know that, I live in Tyler now. I have an amazing church there, but it is every time that I feel like I'm far away for a long time, I don't get to come home that often. I just long to come back here because of the renewal, the feeling I get here from each of you. the service, obviously, but from seeing each person here, and I wanted to share a little bit about what our church there did, not to push you to say, you need to give more, you need to do this, that's between you and God. But what we did was our first 40 days of the year was spent in fasting and prayer, intentional prayer. And through that, I truly believe it is all up to God that I received a promotion at work. It was something that I never thought I was going to get. Yes, truly to Him, it just lined up perfectly. And it was truly was a God thing. I told my family and my siblings yesterday that as soon as I told God, you know, I've been tired of my job all year. I've had so many frustrations. But you know what? Whatever season this is, I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give you praise because I have a job. And I thank you for the joy that I find in it. And that day on the drive home, someone called me and was like, hey, I have a job offer. I have an opportunity if you want to apply for it and take it. And so it was just amazing. And I just share that to say, probably if it wasn't for the fasting and the daily prayer that I did and giving back to the church, I truly don't think that would have lined up. So just things to remember as we go forward. I know I saw it on the screen, fasting and prayer for the election process. I have also been in prayer for that with you. So just know many people are praying for this church and for the transition. But now we will have our ushers come up to take up today's offering. God, I thank you for this church, for everyone here. I thank you, God, for everything that has been instilled in each one of us every day that we come. I pray, Lord, over this offering that you bless each person, each of those who give, those who can't give. Oh, touch this spirit in this place. In Jesus' name.
Oh, you, Lord.
He's there.
I make my bed in heaven.
He's there.
No matter where I go.
He's there.
Where can I run from His fear?
He's there.
Where can I run from His presence?
He's there.
Even in the deepest hole.
He's there.
No matter where I go.
He's there.
If I search the heavens high.
He's there.
If I search the earth, you, Lord.
He's there.
If I make my bed in heaven.
He's there.
No matter where I go.
He's there.
Where can I run from His fear?
He's there.
Where can I go from His presence?
He's there.
Even in the deepest hole.
He's there.
No matter where I go.
He's there.
If I search the heavens high.
He's there.
If I search the earth below.
He's there.
I'll make my bed in heaven.
He's there.
No matter where I go.
He's there.
Where can I run from His fear?
He's there.
Where can I go from His presence?
He's there.
Even in the deepest hell.
He's there.
God and experiencing His superlatives of wisdom, of knowledge, of spiritual virtues, and etc. is just wonderful. The title of my exhortation today has to do with the tremendous effort that Jesus provided, and that is life in the superlative. It's an amazing thing that people walk up to a sports person that's tremendous in their ability and say, "I wish I could be like you. And I wish I could throw a ball like you." And I'm sure the sports person realizes that they just, in nice courtesy, say thank you. But down inside, they think it didn't just happen. Being able to throw a ball quick, being able to throw a ball with accuracy, being able to catch a ball takes eye-hand coordination, and etc. We are so familiar with that kind of activities. And yet there is a tremendous superlative. And that is why I come today, life in the superlative. There is no legitimate reason to live outside the covenants. There is no legitimate reason to have to beg when He's already created a lifeline for us. There is no legitimate reason for us to feel lonely and lacking, because there is an abundance of God in every corner of this room, in the homes that you live in, and the workplaces that we work in. God is there.
Yes, amen.
So today, I just want to talk for a while about life in the superlative. God never intended for any of us to be lacking in anything. So I'm just going to mention a few things to you that during the night wrote down. What do you think is happening in your world today? The big world. I'm talking about the surrounding area. And so what's really happening out there? Is it just another routine day? I know they fresh up this and they fresh up that, and they create new this and they create new that, but it does the same thing. Soap is soap, and you can only use so many different varieties of soap, and you can only use so many varieties of coffee. You can only use so many varieties of other means of eating, and etc. And so, yet there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one vine, one source, and God, of course, our Heavenly Father, is the source of everything. So He had it put in a book about the leaderships to everything. This book, when He said, "Study to show thyself approved of God, a workman that never needeth be ashamed." The word shame means lacking, coming up short, without. There is not really any reason that except that people shun God because they think they can find it in money and in homes and in cars and in every event that's going on. Nothing wrong with doing a lot of the above, but when that supersedes the core value of real life, where you really want to go or experience life. And so it is wonderful to have ministries and church groups where that we find from the pulpit and from services like we're experiencing this morning, a wonderful oasis of the Spirit of the Lord that these singers have helped us to create in these last several minutes. And what a joy it is to be able to sort of saute in such an environment of purity where that every one of us feel and experience the joy that comes from worship and praise. And so today, I really hunger for us. I come today to remind us that the good news is not over. God remains, through His name, the restorer of everything. The book says it clearly. He that began a good work in you will finish it. We just have to surrender daily to Him and let Him complete the work that is going on. The Prince of Peace continues with His effort to just help you to create such a powerful spiritual violence that no demon of lust, no demon of lying, no demon of fornication, all of those demons that try so very confidently to try to rob us and make us think we're missing out on things that are so powerful. I want us to know today that Satan means evil, and God never fears the evil of Satan. He overcame the devil in 33 and a half years in a body that gave us the superlative realization. When he used the term, and I will never forget the first time I read that scripture, and that was God became sin that knew no sin. Well, that just provoked something in me. I'm like, how could that be? Well, we understand it now. God moved into a flesh body, and that flesh body was a sinful body. He goes on to tell us he was tempted in all points such as we, and yet without sin. Even though his sinful nature gave way to the feeling, he never digressed to take advantage or to move into that. And so thus the blood of Jesus, and thus the name of Jesus, and all power in heaven and in earth is given to that name, because that blood, that life, that glory that continued to whip the powers of hell, that's why we repent and are baptized in the name of Jesus and are filled with the Holy Ghost, and we walk in the perfect law of liberty, because we are going to fight for our kids. We're going to fight for our wife. We are going to fight for our husbands. We are going to fight for our generation. We are not giving up. We are going to have revival every day, every year. We're going to revive the works of the Spirit. Hallelujah. I wonder if anybody just like to go ahead and give him a little hallelujah praise. It is too often easy to give way to the flesh, and because of people that resist praise and resist getting born again of the water and the Spirit, and began to live a life that is totally changed and disciplined with the looks and the way that we work in the Spirit. And so they like to just sort of try to make a little fun of it. But I'm going to tell you, it will be worth it all. The song says it that way. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. You will never be a feeling like, oh man, I really missed it. I'm here to tell you today that when you leave this world in the power of the Holy Ghost and walking in holiness and godliness and righteousness and peace and joy, you don't have to be threatened by anything going on out yonder. I'm telling you that he, the Prince of Peace, is alive and is walking in these places today in the power of the Holy Spirit. We are being controlled way too much by the media, thinking on the way that people, wow, that we're missing out on a lot of things. I'll tell you where the wow is. It's at the cross. The real wow is at the cross. That old song we used to sing, at the cross where I first saw the light, where I came, hallelujah, and realized that that blood meant me, that that sacrifice meant me, that that resurrection meant me, that resurrection gave me, that resurrection offered me. I'm telling you today, we're sitting in a place where God is looking down, and the Bible said he's looking for a place to show himself strong in behalf of them that love him. I'm telling you today, it's more than just verbs and adjectives and nouns and pronouns coming across a pulpit. There is a spirit in this house today that came with the songs, that came with the musicians, and that came with the praise out here in the crowd. It stirred up a wonderful spirit, and we're not going to let it die just because we go home. We're going to let the praises of God be offered during the day. The cross is to the lost, and the lost is needing the cross, and the power structure begins with that life of Christ and in the believer. This level of life creates the appetite. Whenever you see that you know that you can do that, you take a chance and do it again. You take a chance and do it again, and that's why I mentioned it again. Today that we are saved by the renewing of the Holy Ghost, and that I've been using the last couple of months, exercising thyself unto godliness, which just simply means all the spiritual virtues that he has contributed to a world in need. And if there ever was a need, it is now. And this power structure of that began in the life of Jesus Christ. The appetite created things that you do as I do, because I go to the Father and the source of all things that were created. You will turn disappointments into joy. You will rise above the weakness of your flesh. You will be a light to the world, those that sit around you and those that sit in darkness. You will reveal the story and the glory of the kingdom of kings. If God would give the keys to the kingdom, what all is about to happen with the church? What is going to happen? He said, I give to you the keys of the kingdom. Ladies and gentlemen, there's no door that's locked that you've been looking for. I'm here to tell you, he said, I am the door. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the light. And no man can come to me but by the power of the blood. Ladies and gentlemen, we are sitting in the aura of all power and earth. There is no legitimate reason to go home and look at the paychecks and look at the house and look at the car and all of that and get discouraged. We can do something about everything that's going on around us. It's just going to take a little discipline. And I'm telling you that God's got the discipline and the absolute wisdom and the knowledge and the patience and the glory and the strength and the holiness and the purity. Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen, there's no need for us to go limping around and saying, oh God, what another day. I'm here to tell you, Jesus Christ the righteous didn't come to buy you a bad day. He came to buy you the best you could ever joyfully live in. There is no need. Yes, we hurt. Yes, we go in pain. And yes, we cry when we get hurt. And yes, we feel bad. But we overcome it. And if we've overcome it once, we know this, that if we have fallen into a situation, we just rise up and we know that we can walk into the power structure again and again and again and again. Just like we brush our teeth and like we wash our bodies, we just keep washing all the junk off, and we just keep separating ourselves from the things of fear and doubt and worry and all of the junk. There's no reason.
He said, my peace I give unto you. He said, the peace that I give unto you passes understanding. In other words, the carnal mind don't catch the drift. The carnal mind is enmity with God, and thus it doesn't experience the true depth of his sacrifice at Calvary. And then his explosion on the day of Pentecost. Ladies and gentlemen, we are sitting in a place where the glory of the Lord is absolutely having freedom. If God would give the keys to the kingdom, what all is about to happen in your life? It's not a time to look around and see what's going to happen in their life. This is your day. This is your hour. God is ministering to me through his word. And the me is single. I have all the opportunity regardless. We watched him in pain. We watched him in ridicule. We watch him in every area. He said he was tempted in all points, such as we. And yet he never failed to realize, I am the only wise God. I am the only door that's going to get them out of the grave. I am the only God that can save their marriage. I am the only God that can save their child-parent relationship. I am the only God that can give them peace on a job where there is all kind of other wicked stuff going on around them. I am the only God that can fill their mind and heart with virtues and powers and glories, that when they wake up in the morning, it is not like, oh my, oh my, oh my, no. When I get up in the morning, I know God's going to let me walk out of that bedroom and at least get a drink of water. My God is going to do this, and my God is going to do that, and I'm not going to just throw away all the benefits. I am going to follow the disciplines. I am going to follow the general disciplines of life. Just clean, staying clean. Staying clean inwardly and outwardly. Ladies and gentlemen, it is not enough to just go to a church, pay a building, and just go through a resource center where you sense all the winners on the field where they played ball. You and I didn't get anything out of the real game. We just got a thrill out of watching others do it. The thrill does not make us what we want to be. We want to be the one that can hit the ball. We want to be the one that can catch the ball. We want to be the one that can destroy sin. We want to be the one that can destroy the works of enemy. We want to be the people that know how, hallelujah, to use that shield of faith and say, let me tell you what, I know that the wicked one would love to knock down my life and knock down my feelings and knock down my thrill about hallelujahs and glories and power, I know that my Redeemer liveth. And hallelujah, I got a shield of faith that says, devil, you're not getting in my car. You're not getting in my house. My kids are going to see Jesus. My kids are going to hear Jesus. My kids are going to hear the word of the Lord. They're going to hear and feel the Spirit of the Lord in our house, our home, our workplace. Ladies and gentlemen, the shield of faith is a wonderful, wonderful thing. And the sword of the Spirit absolutely can cut the coldest iceberg going on. When you take that sword of the Spirit, I'm here to tell you the enemy cannot freeze you out and cannot hammer you out. I'm here to tell you today that the sword of the Spirit, hallelujah, you talk about knowing I am in Christ. I am a new creation. All things are passed away and all things are become new. This is a new day, Mr. Devil. You're going to hear it from the Pentecostals on the loop. We're not walking in limping and working without pay. God is going to furnish the glory. Oh, hallelujah. I knew that I probably was writing down too much, but the Lion of the tribe of Judah is going to rise in your home, in your job, workplace, in your car. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, where victories are won regularly. That doesn't mean, none of this means that you don't have trouble. He tells us very carefully, trouble is with you always. So then he says, prepare ye. And that's what we do at church services. We continue to prepare ourselves. We go to the place where brothers and sisters care about us and we care about them, and that continued flow, like the blood in your body, to from the hand all the way up to your heart and then to your feet and then to your ears and to a life that is so wonderful. And that body of believers absolutely began to furnish a world, a more than just what we call a church service. It is a well that's springing up into everlasting life. We are not just coming here to go through and be counted as a person that's holy and godly and etc. We are doing that because it's the way that life was lived in the flesh of Jesus Christ. He is the mighty God. He is the everlasting Father. You can have the everlasting covenants in your life. No book was ever written that has as much conclusive as of evidence about life and how to live it as the Bible. And why in the world that so many people in the world just continue to live in poverty spiritually and hopeless on so many occasions. I cannot tell you the times of people have told me, said, I don't know, the life is just hopeless. There is just seemingly no way out. And that's where the body of believers reaches out with a voice and says, hey, look, let me tell you, the worst sinners found Jesus in the book. The worst sinners found future in the book. The worst of thought patterns was crucified. Hallelujah. On Calvary, and he was tempted in all points such as we, and yet without sin. He just never let it get him down. He just never let it take him under. He just never did. He just kept on keeping on. And now he's looking back and saying, come unto me, all you that labor, all of you that are still living in poverty, all of you that still weak in the fear in the spirit, and you're worried sick, and you're fainting, and you're wondering if you can make it, and you're wondering if you can save your children, and you're wondering if you can get through the month. I'm here to tell you, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. It is not about just a voice of how eloquent a preacher can preach. It is about enough sword of the Spirit. It is enough of the power and the glory of the blood that comes out through the name of Jesus. And that's why we praise Him. Well, praise that wonderful name. In the name of Jesus, I cast out that spirit. In the name of Jesus, I pray this prayer.
It's an amazing, amazing, and amazing thing how simple, and yet how many people dig through so much other stuff. Matthew, the 16th chapter, Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, and let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whomsoever, and watch this carefully, will save his life. He puts the passion in front of the people. I am a Savior. I am a Redeemer. I am a Forgiver. I am the love of God in flesh. And so then he says, if you want to do this, you can do it. Whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Shall lose it. Shall lose it. There's only one way to lose it. That's to crucify the flesh. For whosoever wants all of this, all of the victories, all of the promises, all of the future, it's in our corner. People can blame their wife, they can blame their husband, they can blame their preacher, they can blame all kind of things. They have even tried to blame it on God, and God's the only one that can give them the very breath they breathe. Said, so he says it just clearly. So what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? As I've paraded through this trying to find the will of God for this, probably the last Sunday for me for a long time, I just looked at it and I said, God, our world needs the apostolic church in this generation. Our world needs a thrilling, powerful, glorious events taking place regularly in that church building. We are the church. This is the house of God. And it ought to be the God that victory is a superlative. I am convinced and I am thrilled about all of the wonderful things that are already going on. But why live in mediocrity when there is more available? Not trying to make us look bad. I'm just trying to tell us that if we want the superlative, the greatest, it's not about reducing others and telling how bad they are and how far they are away from God. It's about showing them the true light. It's about showing them the true victories. It's about showing them the true fabulousness of walking in righteousness and holiness and godliness. And I'm just thrilled today to be able to preach a little bit more about this mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, Counselor, Oh, hallelujah. I'm here to tell you, I want us to live in that superlative, that live in that wonderful arena where the absolutes and knowledge increase over and over. And so he said that we are to grow in grace and in knowledge. And there is just that typical nature of I have become this, and I have become this, and I have become this, and I really don't need to hunger and thirst after anything else. Well, let me tell you something. If your neighbor's in bad shape, that's one of the places to start. Start a prayer meeting. Start a little revival between you and the neighbor. Just go carry them a fruit basket when they are least expecting it. Just go carry them a nice note. If you saw them do something nice, just take them a nice note saying, I noticed that you did this, and that really means a lot to our world. I want you to know that if you need me, I will try to help you with some of your cares. So he says, bear one another's burdens. That's one of the privileges of the kingdom people. And I know that we have in our assembly here several people that already do that. So I'm not trying to just hammer something. I am just trying to tell us that there is going to be a light in this arena that is going to call so many hurting people to it. When the word gets out that almost everybody in here has been having a victory over this, that, and the other, instead of just having to tell them about we've got so-and-so that's pitiful and so-and-so that's pitiful, but we go out and we tell them about the wonderful things that God is doing, and finally, all of a sudden, they say, you know what, I heard that from your brother, and I heard that from one another, your other people. I've got to get out there and see what in the world is happening at the United Pentecostal Church. And ladies and gentlemen, that's where hunger begins. And so he said, they that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. And we've got the greatest opportunity. Hallelujah. It's not like we don't have something wonderful going already. It's a matter of just making it a little bit stronger, a little bit deeper, a little bit more affluent, a little bit more contagious. Hallelujah. I'm here today because Jesus wants you to have the superlative. He doesn't want you to live life, oh my, I wonder what it's going to be like today. Hope the weather don't kill us today. I hope our kids need to hear about the rain. The rain comes down and it waters our lawn. It takes care of us. The winds, they take care of us. God has an ability with every bit of that stuff. He knows what he's doing. He knows how to do it. Yes, I hurt when I hear those storms and houses are torn down. Yes, we hurt. But that brings us together in a coalition that says we are one people in this city, and we are one people in this nation, and we are one people, and the people of God are going to care about the hurting and the people that are destroyed by the powers of darkness and hell. Instead of making fun of them like so many people do across our community, they make fun of people because they do this crazy thing or that crazy thing. We go to them and say, hey, look, man, let me tell you something. I want to tell you that Jesus Christ, hallelujah, has an anecdote. He has a help for you. He has a glory. He has a future for you. Hallelujah. And they may turn on you just like they did Jesus, but at least they'll never forget that somebody came to them. Somebody worked with them. Somebody decided you're worth working with. Hallelujah. I am telling you, life is not so much about fun as it is victory. A lot of people say, man, it's just our world is caught up with fun. Did you have fun today? Did you have fun today? Did
did you have fun? How much fun did you have? How did you have your fun? I'm telling you, the word fun, the enemy doesn't care how he tries to get us sidetracked. He just, I mean, that's not a nasty thing to get fun and have fun and to talk about fun. But I'm here to tell you the big deal is a victory. That is where you pay, and people pay big dollars for somebody winning a basketball game, or winning a football game, winning all of the other things. Ladies and gentlemen, the victories are what counts. And that is why you got to have some trouble so you can have a victory. You can't have much of a real testimony until you've been challenged. And devil, we're coming out of this building today, and we're not going out there to play. We're coming out of this building, hallelujah, with our sword and the shield of faith. And we are going to walk objectively into this social system, and we are going to bring the name of Jesus Christ, and we are going to bring the sword of the Spirit, and we are going to bring the praise, hallelujah, that brings the glory of the spiritual powers. We are in Christ Jesus, a new creation. It is just a wonder that we haven't already subdued half of Paris, Texas. They may not all come to the UPC. They don't have to come to the UPC. As long as we can get them to Jesus, we will get as many as we can afford in this building. I'm telling you that mothers and dads, they raise kids till they get married, and they're married and they get family, and then after they put all that money into them, they move over to another city. Well, you don't get mad at your kids about it. And we don't get mad at people that go to another assembly. We just try to keep such a bright light and so much great help and so much great wisdom and so much great knowledge and so much great thrills that everybody looks like, man, I don't want to be in spiritual poverty. I don't even want to have a limp. I want everything. I want it all. And God is able to afford it. Why don't we pray? Father, while the musicians are coming today, and people that are here that may not have ever received the Holy Ghost or been baptized in the name of Jesus, we are here because we want everybody to be in the superlative. To be baptized in the name of Jesus is to have all of our sins covered. To be filled with the Holy Ghost is to have power to never let them back in. What a wonderful oasis you have created. And today in this house, on this wonderful Sunday morning, we are rejoicing. Because there's an empty grave and a heaven full of angels that bring healing, that bring victory, that bring wisdom, that bring knowledge to remembrance. While the musicians and singers sing, why don't you pray for somebody on your block or somebody you've been working with? And if you can do it, travail a little bit for them. Because when Zion travails,
sons and daughters are born.
It's not a greater place to start travailing than the house of God, where we go up and stir up the gift. We stir up
down in
the passion. God, we're not
deep
letting our neighbors go to hell. We're not letting our neighbors be lost.
It's untamable.
We'll carry them whatever we need to let them know we care.
Oh, you've given me joy. It's unspeakable joy.
Are born
deep down in my heart.
Where are the travailers today?
Deep down in my soul.
When Zion travails,
it's untamable.
Sons and daughters
are born, the joy of the Lord.
Altars are full.
Oh, you've given
Hallelujah.
Me joy. It's unspeakable joy. Joy of the Lord is my strength. I've got joy.